Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31 for our scripture reading this morning. Acts 20, 28 through 31. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away from disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we pray that you will move amongst us, speak to our hearts, and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, good morning to all of you. First of all, do you know what's faster, hot or cold? Clearly it's hot. Anybody can catch a cold. Okay, that's enough of the nonsense. That's just a way of cutting the ice a little bit. I could go further into that. I learned when I was in high school that hot was way faster because I used to chase the hot girls, never could catch them. So it didn't take me long to figure that out. So you might be thinking about molecules moving and all that. That's got nothing to do with anything. Hey, we're going to start Titus, and in a bit I will get to it. A little bit about me. I am a teacher. I have taught school for 52 years. I still teach school. I'm employed at Fairless Schools. I'm at the high school at Fairless right now. So I've been teaching school for 52 years. I've taught everything from first grade up to postgraduate in college. I've taught at Kent State University. I've taught at Malone. I've taught at Ashland. I've taught at Walsh. So all the areas around, I've taught. As soon as they find out that I can't teach well, they get rid of me and I move on. Teaching everything from first grade to post-grad. And one of the things that I like to do, and I think one of the things that I don't think anybody else is doing, I have believed for a while now that the master teacher is the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of what we do, we might say that he's the master teacher, but we do not pay attention to the way he taught. And the way he taught is right there clear and evident in Scripture. And so to start today's sermon, which is called LARPing in Orange Hankies, I take great pride in stupid titles. And the stupider the better, because once the sermon is delivered, if you can remember LARPing in Orange Hankies, it'll bring back all the points that I want to make today. And so if I can link a dumb title to the sermon, you'll remember it. I did one that was called Deliver the Cheese. Anybody here Deliver the Cheese? Okay, well, it's Deliver the Cheese. I was always wondering, is there any cheese in the Bible? Don't ask why my mind went there. But I was wondering if there's any cheese in the Bible, and there definitely was, and David was called to deliver cheese to his brothers. And when he went to deliver the cheese to the brothers, he ran into Goliath. And his great moment was put into place because he was willing to serve in the smallest things. He was willing to deliver the cheese. And so the giant was slain because he delivered the cheese. Well, long story short, a man who had been on the mission field for 20 years in Tanzania came up to me and he said, Kurt, do you remember when you preached Deliver the Cheese at camp? I said, yeah, I remembered. I could preach it right now without any notes. because that's just the way I process putting them together. And so he said, yeah, that was a great sermon because that is what moved me to the mission field. And so maybe today's sermon will move you in some way. Hopefully that will happen. You guys are starting Titus, and I do not want to get into a great amount of detail up here. I want to lay out kind of the purpose of the book of Titus, and then in your Sunday schools, you can start to mine out the details, and for the future, you can do that. But Titus, a lot of times you might say, I don't know much about Titus. I don't know about Titus. It has nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with you. And I love the sermon that we read from, the passage we read from Acts, because the passage we read from Acts is right up what Titus is about. Everybody's on target. But to get us going, did you know that Jesus told us to beware 10 times in the Gospels? Did you know that? That there's 10 times Jesus uses the word beware. Don't raise your hand, but kind of through your hearts and minds, what did he tell us to beware of? And if you're pulling a blank, that's one of our problems. Our Lord, our Savior, told us to beware, and we're not aware of what it is that we're supposed to beware of. And did you know that 7 of the 10 things that he told us to beware of, 7 of those 10 are the same thing? And could you tell me what it is? And then if you could you tell me how Scripture has taught us to combat that? Well, part of all that is the book of Titus. The Apostle Paul, I cannot imagine the work that God called him to do. We know he was shipwrecked, he was whipped, he was stoned, all these things. But while he was doing that, he was going to Colossae, to Thessalonica, to Corinth, to Athens, to Rome. And he was going around, and one place he went was Crete. And he was going around establishing churches. He was evangelizing, getting churches established, and then putting people in place to run those churches. And one of the places he went was Crete. And he left a guy in charge at Crete called Titus, somebody that he led to Christ himself. And so he is writing the book of Titus to put things in place for the ministry in Crete. And if you will, turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 10. In chapters 1 through 9, you can get that in Sunday school. And you can get the stuff after it in Sunday school also. But I want to highlight one point. Paul says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Not should be, ought to be, must be. Their mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Whose mouths must be stopped. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. That's odd. How many of you ever called somebody a slow belly? I haven't, but here Paul's doing it. He's saying that one of their own people a prophet of those, a person that they respect, said that the people on Crete were always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. And Paul's saying, Titus, that's your ministry field. That's where I want you to be working, with a bunch of people that are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. By the way, slow bellies, it's not 100%, but a slow belly, think couch potato. Lazy, slothful, serving their belly, not very productive at all, lying in evil beasts. When you establish a church, like in Crete, you have two main problems coming at you. One, the culture in which you're called to. And two, an outside influence, the circumcision. Religious people who teach religious stuff that's all wrong. That's what Jesus told his disciples to beware of. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then they said, this got to do with bread. And they said, no, it's their doctrine. Their doctrine, beware of it. Help me out. What is the leaven? What is the doctrine of the Pharisees? Do you know it? What is the doctrine of the Sadducees? Do you know it? Paul is writing to Titus, this is what you have to combat. You say, okay, that's cool because Pharisees and Sadducees were back then. No, they're present today. Modern-day Pharisees, modern-day Sadducees are present today. They're present today and prevalent at our churches and at our universities. And beware, because a little bit of their doctrine is like leaven, a little bit. And a little bit leaveneth the whole lump. When I ask people about the Sadducees, they tell me, oh, I know about Sadducees. They don't believe in a resurrection. That's why they're Sadducee. Have you ever heard that? Raise your hand if you have. Yeah. And the problem is I grind my teeth when I hear it. I grind my teeth. That's why they're Sadducee. Scriptures tell us that there are three signs of a Sadducee, and the denial of the resurrection is one of the three. So what are the other two? And most people pull a blank. And the silliness of giving people one problem with the Sadducees, when there's three, and Jesus said their doctrine is like leaven. It destroys, or as Paul would say, it subverts whole houses. Can you imagine that the preaching prepares you for one and leaves you totally wide open for the other two? And if a little bit comes in, you're in trouble. If you were to make a three-egg omelet and one of the eggs was rotten, would you eat it? No. And so a little bit of that leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So that's what Paul is trying to get straightened up here. And how do we combat that? And what do we do about it? That's another sermon. That's another day. However, is this for today? Absolutely 100%. Raise your hand if you know what LARPing is. Maybe. If you're thinking cosplay and Dungeons and Dragons, you are wrong. At least you're not up to date. LARPing is an acronym that stands for Live Action Role Play. Did you know that? Well, it has morphed away from putting on a silly costume or playing a board game of some sort, and it is turned into what kids do for fun is they will act as if they are a certain way. I had a student one time told me that when Ohio State played Penn State, he was all for Penn State. He loved Penn State. Everybody in the classroom jumped all over him. You're an idiot. What's wrong with you? And he just kept going on about Penn State and how great it is. He could care less about Penn State. He was LARPing. He just wanted to see and role play what would happen if he played off like he was a Penn State fan. And he just thought it was the greatest thing in the world for like a week to have everybody get all over him for that. And he kept LARPing, kept role playing. That's kind of what Paul is saying, is that the Cretans are always liars. They are portraying themselves as one thing, but it's not true. They're deceitful. They're deceivable. The kids do it for fun. Or do they? Take a quick moment to jump to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's like a page back. The Apostle Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous." Lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, always liars, false accusers, always liars, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, slow bellies, more than lovers of God. Paul is saying that this is indicative of the last times. And yet, in Titus, we're seeing the same thing taking place. People are more concerned about their own pleasures than a lost and dying world. And here is Paul trying to establish the church in Crete and Titus battling these two elements. And then along with that, along comes the circumcision, teaching nonsense. I was at a church recently, and I was asked to preach. And when I was asked to preach, the whole thing was one of their elders was teaching that you had to go back to the Old Testament law. And it tore that church up. And it's the same thing as what Paul's talking about, the circumcision comes in. And Christ is not enough. They come in and they start teaching that Christ plus is what's necessary. And when you add Christ plus, are you really trusting in Christ? If you've got one foot on the Lord Jesus Christ to rest upon, in one foot on whatever else your plus is your foot being supported by the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that your rock? Is that where you stand? Or you stand in two different places? Christ plus is not Christ. Salvation is found in faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That is the bedrock of what church is about, true church. Faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 4. A man is justified without the works of the law. That is what upended all of false teaching. That Christ came along and told the woman taken in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." Religion teaches, "Go and sin no more, and neither do I condemn thee." Christ teaches, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." It is faith in Christ that saves. And because of that faith, we live a holy and a just life. Not in order to be saved, but because we have been saved. And that is what Paul is dealing with in Titus. But now you're going to say to me, Kurt, what about the orange hanky? I brought it. Can you see it? The orange hanky, LARPing and orange hankies. This is an illustration. So pay attention that I'm using this for an illustration. I am going to take this orange hanky. Pay attention. What are you doing, taking notes? See, you can tell I'm a teacher, you see. You tell a kid to pay attention and they're taking notes. It's like there's going to be a test. There's no test, okay? Actually, there is. It's your life, so pay attention. I got the hanky. What I'm going to do is I'm going to place this hanky into my fist right here. And you're going to say, where's the hanky? You're going to say, definitely, it's in his fist. Okay? The hanky's in his fist. And then, be quiet. Then it comes back. Okay? That is deception. That is what Paul is dealing with. All around, there's orange hankies. Orange hankies draw our attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We spend our lives chasing orange hankies. Now, if you would see this orange hanky, give me a second, because these kids look really smart. I can't talk to you. Just a minute. You guys look really smart. Do you see how thin this orange hanky is? Say yes.
Yes.
Very good. This orange hanky is super, super thin. It lacks substance for a reason. But it sure is pretty, isn't it? You're saying, no, it isn't. It's a stupid orange hanky. You can't believe how many people chase after orange hankies their entire life. The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. They chase orange hankies, and they deceive with orange hankies. Are you following me? And it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is inserted into that situation to win Crete, to change the world, to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know what you're saying. Kurt, would you explain to me how you made the orange hanky disappear? That's what you're saying, right? Yes, you are. Would you like to know how? Thank you. Now, they say a good illusionist never tells his trick, so I'm going to show you how, okay? I know you're going to say, oh, he's not very good. That's what I just said. Okay, so take a look. Do you see it? You see it? No, you don't. Do you see it? No, what do you see? What do you see? No, you don't see it. I can wave this all day. The reason I'm waving this all day is so you see this and not the fake thumb. You say, that's not a... It's a fake thumb. Can you... See, it's a fake thumb. You got it. You knew, didn't you? I told you, be quiet, didn't I? I watched you the whole time, see? Oh, and by the way, when you spot the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you see the circumcision coming, teaching false doctrine, and you start to tell your buddy, there'll be people tell you, shut up, be quiet. Don't. Don't. So let's see how this works. Oh, you thought you saw a fake thumb. There's no fake thumb there. Where's the fake thumb? It's right here. It's watch. It goes from here to here. Got it? So when I pull out the hanky, first of all, chances are you're not going to see the fake thumb. Because I'm doing this, and your eyes go, whoop, squirrel. Right? Now, do you see my point, what I'm trying to get across? In the world, we're supposed to keep our eyes on somebody that matters. That was good. We're supposed to keep our eyes on somebody that matters, but instead, our focus is on the orange hanky, the thing that these people said there's no substance to it. Why is there no substance? So I can stuff it inside my thumb. See? And then I can put my thumb on and ta-da, it's gone. You follow it. Very good. Here's my point. This is what I'm trying to get across. Orange hankies and LARPing. Once you see the thumb, you can't unsee it. Once you see the Lord Jesus Christ and Him uplifted and Him glorified, once you see that it is He who died on the cross for your sin and all of your sin was removed by Him, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And these things are written, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let me do that again, because this is for people who maybe don't want something very complicated. I want you to stand up and shout and say, that's too complicated, if the verse I quote you has any word in it more than one syllable. But if it's one syllable, a first grader can get it. Got it? Let me give it to you. He that hath the Son hath life. So I get that. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's what life's all about. You have life if you have the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. This is 1 John 5, if you say, what's he quoting from? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe. Not believe plus, but these things have I written unto you that believe, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. That you may know. Not hope, not wish, not pray, that you may know. And it's a present possession. That you may know that you have eternal life. You ask somebody, do you know that you have eternal life? And they'll say, I hope so. They've got their feet maybe on Jesus. Let me change that. They've got a foot on Jesus and a foot on something else. Because when your foot is on something else, you don't know, because it is Christ and He alone that saves. And if your faith is in something other than Christ, it's unsure. It's like you got your foot on a banana peel and you're going to slip. Does that make sense? If my faith is in Christ alone, it's sure. Because the question is not what did I do, it's what did He do. And is He capable of saving? And is He capable of saving? One more time. And is He capable of saving? Yeah, that's the point. He is capable. You're not. He is capable of saving. If you were to empty all of heaven out and God started checking credentials of who's allowed in, who gets in first? Nobody but the guy checking credentials, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know He's there and He is yours and you are His, you're there. People say, if you were to die and go to heaven, what would you say? Why should you get into heaven? Have you ever heard that question? Probably. Here's my answer. Don't ask me, ask Him. I have an advocate with the Father that speaks for me. If you'd ask me why I should get there, I'm going to goof it up. But he's my advocate. He pleads for me. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ that will say, he's mine. How do you get the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. You get it? God's given to us eternal life. The biggest but in the Bible, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The biggest but in the Bible. It changes everything. And it's a gift. If somebody tells you it's not a gift, they're off. Or if somebody tells you, oh, it's a gift, but you got to do something for it, you tell them, no, that's not a gift. We get that with LARPers and orange hankies. We get that with people who are like used car salesmen. Hey, come in, and if you come in and spend $50,000, we got a gift for you. No, I just bought that, whatever you're trying to give me. So one more time, the orange hanky, and we got to finish up. I'm looking at that clock. I don't want to hold you guys up. You see it. Follow it. See if you can get it. What's on my thumb? Nothing? I'm going to put this in here. Do you know where it's going? Fake thumb. Who said that? Somebody's, that's right. That's right. Somebody's, where's it going? So I know I got, you see? Once you seize the thumb, you can't unsee it. And I would love, instead of saying, I know where it's going to the fake thumb, you say, wait, if it has nothing to do with Jesus, I'm late for the door. And so, I'm going to make it disappear. Boom. You got it? And what are you looking at? You can't not see it, can you? Do you understand? You can't not. It's once you see it, it's there. Now, I can do angles and go like this, but that's not going to change anything. And so where's the thumb? Right there. And where's the hanky? Right there. And when I pull it out, it looks amazing, but it's just a hanky. What's amazing is the thumb. And what's amazing is that somebody in your life. And so what I've been preaching is make sure that the somebody that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. Let me pray. As you go to your Sunday schools, your small groups, by the way, everybody wants me to go to the small group. There's some big people here, you're not allowed in. It's for small groups. They want me because that guy's small. So anyway, when you go to your small group, you can look at Titus, and one of the things you're going to mine out is specific principles and ideas wherewith you combat the liars, the concision, the evil beast, the slow bellies. That is the point of the book of Titus. Got it? Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for his marvelous gospel. Thank you that it is he and he alone that can affect Crete, that can affect the ancient world, and can affect Fredericksburg, and can affect anywhere and everywhere it goes. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We ask these things in his name. Lift him up. Amen.